Hello, my loves. Are we having fun with anxiety yet? This is number two in our four-part series of healing with anxiety. Let me just give you all the double entendres, the quadruples entendres. We are healing with our anxiety, with or without it. We're going to heal. We're going to heal the anxiety itself. We're going to heal no matter what. All right, in new tradition form, I am opening up with a gift for you. So here's what's happening. Tomorrow, Thursday, March 7th, I'm having a heart-centered class. It is about healing fear and anxiety with better beliefs. So let's just pause for a second. What do beliefs have to do with our fears and anxieties? Okay, here's the philosophical premise. Energy follows thought. If you've listened to any teaching of mine, this is the emphasis. Energy follows thought. A belief is just a thought. So we want to look at the energy that's driving our beliefs and how that might or might not be creating our fears and anxiety. So here's what you can do. You head to daniellelaporte.com/class. Now the classes are typically $20 to drop in. You can use that $20 to apply to joining the membership. Super cool. If you want to get $7 off of tomorrow's class, because it's Thursday, March 7th tomorrow, you use the code POD103, P-O-D-103, when you check out. So if you're listening to this podcast on March 6th, it's a Wednesday, I always release on Wednesdays. The class is happening tomorrow at 12 noon Pacific, that's 3 p.m. Eastern time, and that's when this code will expire, because, you know, it's time sensitive, I have to do that. daniellelaporte.com/class. If you want to register or if you just want to check out what this whole heart-centered community is about. Now, this class is going to be more like a workshop. I'm expanding these to go deeper. We're going to be there for 90 minutes. Consider it a guided inquiry. It's going to be like a journaling circle. You get the recording, you get the questions, any link, any book, any reference that I mention. We wrangle those things up for you. And if you buy the class, you get access forever. daniellelaporte.com/class, POD103, POD103, when you check out. All right, healing tomorrow and healing right now. Here we go. Our last episode, that was episode 102, was about seven types of anxiety. We went through the whole gamut of agoraphobia, general anxiety, OCD, etc. Just want to remind everybody, we are not our anxiety. We are much more vast and amazing than that. We want to just look at those ruptures, those ways of being, and we don't want to over-identify with them. We want to see them so that we can heal them. Okay. Today, we're going to get into softer, deeper, more heart-centered terrain and look at the ways that we can actually show our anxiety some love. That's how the healing happens all the time. You cannot heal something that you do not integrate. If it sits outside of you, it festers, it freezes, it needs to come in from out of the cold. And the warmest, most mature, transformative place is your heart center, also known as the seat of the soul. All of this is leading us to a super class that I'm going to offer on April 4th called How to Heal for Real. Save the date. Just head to daniellelaporte.com/subscribe and we will be sure to get you notified. It's a cool way to see what we're up to. Now, because this is a series and I want you to come along the whole journey with us, really make it to the other side of being clear on like what's going on and how we heal, please, please subscribe to the podcast. Also, subscribing, it's really good for lots of reasons. It helps us let Apple and Spotify know that conscious content is like working for people. Okay, let's start with some Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown's famous words, "My anxieties have anxieties." I don't know if that's, I can't even remember the Charlie Brown voice, but I do remember that. "My anxieties have anxieties." And I think that's the reality for those of us who may develop anxiety disorders. Again, I just want to be tender and conscious with the word disorder. So we don't want to over-identify and we don't want to over-dramatize it. Let's look at disorder as imbalance. We have an anxiety imbalance. Our natural state is relaxed. Our natural state is ease. But here's the thing with anxieties that pile on top of anxieties. It's the anticipating. It's the worrying. It's the forecasting and predicting of reasons you could be anxious. It's being consumed with worry. It is an obsessiveness with unease. It's a kind of fixation on nervousness. Like the nervousness, you kind of get off on it in a way. It makes you feel alive, which physiologically speaking, you know, that cortisol and adrenaline pumping is kind of a vibration of aliveness. But unchecked, the worry on top of worry, the excessive anticipation, negative anticipation, can gradually turn into panic attacks. And that's really just unpleasant terrain. One characteristic of anxiety is that we fear that the symptoms will last forever, that your breathing is not going to regulate, that your pounding heart is going to cause a heart attack, that you're never going to be able to think or see straight. And really, I think this is the nature of the hell realm. It is the personality, let's say, of agony, that you land yourself in an uncomfortable situation, like you're legit in something agonizing. But where hell really kicks in is you start wondering when it's going to end. You become terrorized. You terrorize yourself with wondering how long it's going to last. I remember I was at the beginning of the dark night of my soul, and I had gone for a 3-day EMDR therapy session. So EMDR stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. It's a psychotherapy treatment. It's designed to alleviate the stress, the impact that comes with traumatic memories, with trauma. So I flew myself down to Petaluma, California. I got an Airbnb, and my psychotherapist came there for 3 days with her light bar. You're sitting in front of, imagine like a carpenter's level sitting horizontal, and there's a little light beam that moves across from left to right, and your eyes are moving at different paces with this light, and that is helping the lobes pulsate in healing ways, you could say. And I was hysterical for most of those 3 days. I was really unpacking the trauma that had been triggered by a cancel culture situation, but was really just the opening to a portal of my relationships with the divine feminine and what a lot of people would call the mother wound, although I don't identify too closely with that. But in between kind of the intense focus of these sessions, a lot of which are verbal and there's Q&A happening and you're watching the light go back and forth and you're being asked where you're moving on the scale of discomfort and frustration. Like, are you a 1? Are you a 3? What's the charge for you? Okay. In between all of that, I was just basically bawling my eyes out. And what I didn't realize at the time, and I do talk about this in the last podcast episode with respect to women and hormonal imbalance, what I didn't realize was that my hormones were so wackadoodle that it was really creating some legit anxiety for me. And that was this just crazy, literally crazy cocktail of my body just being really off center and then excavating all this traumatic stuff. So I was a mess. And I remember standing in the kitchen, this Airbnb, through tears, took a deep breath, and I said to Anne, I grabbed both of her hands, and I knew this was such an inappropriate, cross-the-line kind of question, and I asked her, how long is this going to last? It's inappropriate because, you know, like, who can tell you that? But I was in such mortal coil. It was going to be okay. If I knew she lied, I would, like, just lie to me. Tell me this is just a matter of days. Tell me this won't last more than 2 years, because if this is more than 2 years, I got to come up with a plan B for, like, get out. And she took a deep breath, and I could see that she was scanning her own consciousness to see if, like, this was kind of ethical. And she said, Danielle, this is what we know about you. You burn through things very quickly. Based on my experience, I think you're in for about another 6 months of this. And I just took a deep breath, and that was everything I needed to hear that day. That was one of the most healing moments of the whole 3-day grueling experience of excavation. Okay, 6 months. I got it. I can see the end. If I can see the end, I know how to get to there from here. I can do this for 6 months. And I don't know if she was right, or if having that seed planted in my mind gave me something to work for, but she was about right. It was 6 months of panic attacks and barfy waves of anxiety, not quite debilitating, but almost. And then I started to ease out of it. And then it was about another year after that to get my hormones back online and really get stabilized and courageous again. Does that feel hopeful or really depressing to hear that? I hope it feels hopeful, because I got through it. I have not returned to that degree. And I know so, so, so many people who make it through to the other side. And I would say to you, it's entirely possible, highly likely, inevitable, that if you are in the bowels of it now, you are so totally 100% getting to the other side. So should we break it down? What is anxiety? Super simple definition. Anxiety is a response to uncertainty, among 9,000 other things that can trigger it. But anxiety is most generally, most often, a response to the unknown, to uncertainty. So our nervous system, most beautifully, most powerfully, is alerting us to potential threats. And it is preparing us to take action all the time. So if we answer what is anxiety, response to uncertainty, then we need to ask, what's the why of anxiety? Like, why does it actually happen? Let me say that in a different way. How do we get ourselves to a place where those potential threats translated through our nervous system actually cause us anxiety? Because there's lots of times, lots of people, lots of days where we are observing potential threats and we don't feel anxious at all. Anxiety happens because of stressful patterns, ongoing, repetitive stress that does not get healed through integration into the heart. The stress doesn't get mitigated. It doesn't get addressed. It turns into a pattern. It accumulates. That accumulation gets triggered by so-called potential threats. And then we feel anxious. Isn't it beautiful to see that there's a map, that there's a sequence? Because we can walk ourselves out of that labyrinth into stability and calm and resiliency and responsiveness, alertness, healthy alertness. We can become more conscious and awake. Things can become more vibrant. We can become the best kind of sensing and aware. We get more conscious. That's really the function of anxiety. It helps us become more awake. Anxiety sits outside of the heart. It wants to come in wants to come home to rest in love. Okay, so what's anxiety sound like? Let's say we've got a performer. Anxiety sounds like a nervous and very rattled stage performer. What if I fall off stage? What if everybody sees me having a panic attack? What if I can't find my way off of stage? What if I get lightheaded and nauseous? So it's nervous about a particular situation. It scans the situation for all of the potential threats, and it feels threatened and fearful of all of that potentiality. Anxiety is the jacked up version of constantly asking ourselves, what if? Anxiety is caution on steroids. Anxiety is almost an addiction to the fear of uncertainty. Anxiety is what happens when we do not love on our stress. I'm going to walk you through 8 life areas. These are actually also in my Nourish System program, by the way. And you're going to ask yourself what your current what ifs are. It doesn't have to be the realm of like you're super anxious and OCD about these things, but this is like we are entertaining what we're anxious about, okay? So in the area of your body, let me give you some subcategories. So your body includes your nutrition, your fitness, your healing, rest, medicinal, supplemental things. In the area of your body, your wellness, what's your current what if? What are you anxious about? Okay, let's shift to mind. Think about your thinking. There's one for you. Think about your thinking, what you're learning, what you think about when you wake up every day, thought looping, your inner critic. What's your current what if about the wellness of your mind, the stability of your mind, the quality of your thoughts, the future of your mind? What's your what if? Move to your emotions. All your emotions, your feelings, your creativity, your inner child, happiness, sadness, the negative emotions, positive emotions. What's your what if around your feelings? Think about different circumstances you might envision yourself in. What if that makes me feel what? Think about your soul, your place and time and space, your role on the planet, destiny, if you believe in destiny, your purpose. So you're in the category of soul, your relationship to the divine, something greater than you, prana, life force. What if? Let's move into relationships. Oh my goodness, so many what ifs could come out of this. Relationships cover your relationship with yourself, how you speak to yourself, what you love and have a hard time loving about yourself, relationships with partners, family, society, community, team, your place in culture. What's your what if in relationships in general, in those relationships specifically? What if? Let's move to livelihood. Livelihood, that's your work. It's your prosperity, your abundance, your service, your cash. It could also be your education. What's your what if in that category? And then let's move into like the really practical and material. So space and things is what I call this area, your home, your workspace, your office space. You could also put traveling in there. What's your kind of like anxious what if in the area of space and things in your life? And then I have the final, the 8th category, which I call your wellness team. And the reason I want to put this in, you know, as I mentioned earlier, these lifestyle areas are part of the spine of our Nourish System program, which is all about healing your nervous system. It's a whole system to do that. And I put this in there, wellness team, because I want to have each of us look at on a regular basis, who's on our team? Do we need different, better practitioners, more alternative, more scientific, advisors? Do we have support groups? Are there instructors for things we need to learn to really be the chief executive officers of our wellness? This includes healers of all kinds, the metaphysical, the so-called alternative, which is really the foundational and ancient, the sacred, the modern and contemporary, the chiropractic, the doctors, all the things. Your wellness team. What's your what if around your current wellness team? All right, this would be a great place to take a deep breath. I hope that extracted some insight for you, because if you can see where the anxious thinking lies, you can come up with the antidote to that. And I have some suggested antidotes for dissolving anxiety, for improving our relationship with anxiety, for healing, that's it, for healing with anxiety. Okay, the first suggestion is super duper practical. So when you're feeling agitation, anxiety, panic, obsessiveness, you can do the five objects method. So you scan the environment immediately around you and you look for five things that you can see or you can touch, you can hear, or you can feel. It's your tea mug. It's your running shoes. It's the plant. It's the candle. It's your phone. And that naming, ever so calmly, that observing of what's in front of you, right in front of you, you have some control over it in real time, will help you regulate your nervous system, which is to say, dissolve, integrate your anxiety. Five objects that you can ground to in current time by seeing them, touching them, by hearing them, or feeling them. Okay, super practical. All right. Now we're going to get a little more psychological and spiritual. How do you heal with anxiety? You hold space for the emotions. What does that even mean, holding space? Hold space for the emotions. So you, because you're in charge, you're the divine being, you are the parent of your reality, you are going to be a judgment-free zone for all the stuff that's happening. You are the safe space for what's going on within you. Which makes sense because you are massively, vastly creating what's going on within you. You're going to allow all that gnarly stuff to roost, to come home, to rest in love. Love is judgment-free. The rest comes in just allowing those things that you are typically judging and trying to push away to just be present. I got you. I see you. I'm not criticizing. Fear, anxiety, oh, that compulsion, that's, I have nothing negative to say about you. I see you as is. Come in, judgment-free, you can rest. Okay, so you got the practical, then you hold space for the emotions, and then you're going to love on your thoughts. So you're going to use your consciousness to see what's coming up from your unconsciousness. You're going to think about what you're thinking about. This is what it means to be conscious. This is what awakening is. You see your thoughts. You're not swimming in them. You're observing them. I'm going to take it one step further. You're going to see your thoughts. You're going to acknowledge your thoughts without judgment, right? Because judgment-free zone. And then, this is where the love comes in. You're going to embrace the thoughts. All that chaos that's being stirred up, whatever has triggered the anxiety, that chaotic texture, you're going to love it. Say, you're here, I see you. Come in for some love. Ah, gnarly thought, anxious thought, divisive thought, criticizing thought, ugly thought. Just come in. I see you. I see you. I'm just going to give you some love right now. And then we're going to take it one step further because that's what we do. That's what we do in heart-centered land, right? So you've done the practical, got your five objects. You're holding space for the emotions, judgment-free zone. You're loving on your thoughts. And then you're going to stir in some appreciation into the mix. you're actually going to have a modicum of gratitude for what is going down. I know this might seem like a big ask when you are feeling the waves of hyperventilation and nauseating anxiety. But can you do it? Just a sprinkle in some appreciation into the mix, that you are appreciating everything that is surfacing. This anxiety is serving to make you a more conscious, gentle, loving, aware, vibrant, see all the colors and dynamics kind of human being. This is for your unfolding. A little bit of appreciation helps you calm down. Okay, fifth thing. You're going to understand, you could do this right now, you're going to understand that your thoughts do not control you. Your thoughts don't control you, they're just thoughts. You're the thinker of the thoughts. How could the little thing that you made control you? It will never get bigger than you if you don't let it. You are the thinker of the thoughts. You're the thinker of the thoughts. You're a sovereign being. There are no thoughts that control you. You don't even have to believe this right now. You could just consider this theory from this chick on this podcast with Love, Danielle. Just consider that thoughts cannot control you. Anxiety is a thought. Obsessiveness, compulsiveness, these are all thought forms. Okay, so when you accept this, when you even just begin to toy with this concept, the thoughts lose their gravitas. They don't have the grip. They don't have the same stick that you used to when you identified as the thought. When you said, I am anxious. You are not anxious. You are having an experience of anxiety. You are accommodating the anxiety. The obsessiveness, the compulsiveness is the weather that is passing through the environment that is your life. You are the living being. You are the holder of it. And if you hold it, you can redirect it. My suggestion is you hold it really close to your heart center where everything is given space to change. All change, all transmutation happens through the heart chakra. And that's that. Okay, final thing. This is the bonus. You could think to yourself, you could recall, you could remember that you've been here before. If you've made it this far in this conversation about anxiety, if you listened to the first episode in this four-part series of healing with anxiety, you have experienced this. So you just tell yourself, I've got through this before. I've done this. I got to the other side. So all those really subtle states, nuanced, just to use the overused word of the self-help industry, but it's true. All those nuanced states, those layers that are coming up to be loved. Tremors of anxiety, full-blown panic attacks, just wobbles of nervousness, just normal nervousness, natural nervousness that has us expand. Yeah, it's all coming up to be loved. And when we love it, we get bigger, we get brighter, we get more intentional with our thoughts, our speech, our actions. We become the conscious creators of our life. And that is what happens when you show your anxiety some love. All right, speaking of love, I'm so glad you're here. If this is moving, if there's one healing idea, if it helps you, if you think it could help somebody else, forward it on to the somebody else you think it could help. If it's working for you on any level, I hope you are subscribing. We're dropping the love on a regular basis now, every Wednesday. The third part in the four-part series coming next week. This is one of my favorite ones. I'm going to be talking about spiritual teachers, like actual gurus and Zen masters who have struggled with and made it through anxiety disorders. Who knew? Happens to the best of us. Until then, I hope all of your what ifs turn into I've got this. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word with love.